Well, good morning, Woodbine family. I hope you are doing well this morning. It is a pleasure worshiping with you this morning. And I just want to say thank Oksana and her team for leading us in song and worship this morning. What blessed day it is. And we are commanded, today is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. But I must confess to you, just like a lot of us have talked about over the past many days, it has been a week full of uncertainty, anxiety, fear, watching the stock market go up and down and up and down. Obviously, the pandemic, just with the virus and everything that's going on. And one of the stories that Jesus has continually pressed upon my heart over the past several days is we're like the disciples in that boat in the middle of a storm. And we see Jesus walking on water. And as Peter called out to him saying, Lord, if that's you, command me to come. And what did Jesus say? He said, come. And I feel like we are in this huge storm. And Jesus is commanding us to get out of the boat, fix our eyes on him, and walk straight to him. Just to do a quick little review, we are talking about the seven sayings of Jesus on the cross. And over the past several weeks, we have looked at when he said, and he prayed as he is being nailed to the cross, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they're doing. We've also looked at when he told the other criminal on the cross that today, that he would see Jesus and be with him in paradise. We looked last week when Jesus cried out as he prayed Psalm 22, my God, why have you forsaken me? Today, we're going to look at two verses where Jesus says, I'm thirsty. Earlier this week, as all the campus pastors, as we got together virtually to talk about how we're going to preach this sermon, one of the pastors mentioned that his 13-year-old son said, Dad, are you actually going to be able to preach a sermon on just two words? I'm thirsty. And we all got a big kick out of it because as pastors, as preachers, man, we can get to preaching sometimes if we're not careful. And today I'm going to do something real different. I'm going to break my sermon up into two very short sections. I'm going to talk a little bit now, and then we'll go back to song and worship. And then I'll come back and we'll talk a little bit more. But I want to encourage you, open your Bibles back to John chapter 19. That's what Lauren just read. John chapter 19, verse 28 and 29. Here's the context, and many of you know this. Jesus had been betrayed by his disciples and abandoned by his disciples. He was beaten. He was flogged. He was falsely accused. He was tried. He was beaten again, mocked by the soldiers. He was led out to Golgotha where he was crucified. And there he hangs for hours, naked, bleeding and suffering, suffocating to death. People are taunting him and mocking him. There are just people, passerbyers that are gawking at what is happening. And it says here in verse 28, this is a very powerful verse. It says, after this, when Jesus knew that everything was now finished, that the scriptures would be fulfilled, Jesus, even though he's dying, he is very conscious of what is happening. And he knows that everything is being fulfilled in the scriptures about what's going to happen to him. He says this, I'm thirsty. My question for you, have you ever been thirsty? I mean, really thirsty. As a former athlete growing up, I've got 1,000 stories of me being very thirsty, running on the basketball court, running around the track, or those hot dog summer days of August in football practice where I couldn't wait to get to the water hose to quench my thirst. But I think the time that I was most thirsty, I was in Mexico. We took our youth up a mountain. We hiked up a mountain and hiked back down. We didn't plan correctly. We didn't take enough water. It was during dry season. And when we got down at the end of the mountain, all of us were dehydrated. Some of us were delusional and almost passing out. And I was scared to death. I thought I was going to die. It felt like I had 10 cotton balls in my mouth full of dust. And I couldn't get my breath. Have you ever been that thirsty? And here Jesus says, I'm thirsty. I find it very ironic that the one who promises to give living water, eternal water, is dying of thirst. Now he's dying of a whole lot more than that. But there's two things I want to leave with you here in this short verse here where Jesus says, I'm thirsty. It tells us that he's human. Scripture is very clear that Jesus was a man, he was human, he shared our flesh and blood. In Hebrews chapter 2 and Hebrews chapter 4, in both of those chapters in the book of Hebrews, it talks about Jesus being a man, a human, just like you and me, where he was tried, he was tempted in every way, just like we are. He knows what it's like to be thirsty, to be tired, to be hungry, to have friends, to have enemies. He knows what it's like to thirst. And that should be an encouragement for us because we do not have a king. We do not have a God who created us and left us to our own. But our God, through the person of Jesus, knows what it's like to be human, knows what it's like to be weak, to go through testing and trials and temptations and heartache. Jesus knows. And the reason that is such good news for us is we have a king who can sympathize with our weaknesses. We have a king who knows what it's like to be tried and tempted. And yet our king, as human as he was, never sinned. And he gives us the strength to carry on. The second one is this. Jesus didn't halfway do it on the cross, but he completely poured himself out as an atoning sacrifice for you and me. Regardless of our circumstances, our eyes should be fixed on Jesus. And as he called Peter to get out of the boat and say, come, he's calling you and me to come to him because he is our goal. He is our prize. And we should fix the eyes of our hearts and minds on the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you thirsty? Let's go to him for that living water. I'm thirsty. Give me a drink. As we talk about the seven sayings of Jesus on the cross, when he said, I'm thirsty, there's another story I want us to look at, and it's John chapter 4. It's what Lauren just read for us. And many of you know this story. Jesus and his disciples, they're traveling through Samaria. And it's important for us to know that Jews and Samaritans, they did not associate with each other. In fact, they hated each other. There's unbelievable racism from both parts, and they utterly despised each other. Also, a very important cultural issue was men would not address women out in public that much unless it was their wife or their daughter, maybe their mother. But to talk to a stranger of the other opposite sex in this culture and time was also a social no-no. And here we see Jesus in this story in John chapter 4. He's breaking two social norms. As they travel through Samaria, they come to this small town. And Jesus, he's tired. Again, another example of him being human. He's tired and he sits and he waits at this well. Why, the disciples go in town to buy food. So there he is all by himself. And here comes this woman coming up to the well to draw water. Now, this was a God appointment. Jesus knew exactly who she was. He knew exactly what he was doing. He was going to have a gospel conversation. As this woman comes, and as we read, she draws water. And Jesus asks, hey, give me a drink. And she's shocked, one, because he's a man, two, because he's Jewish and she's Samaritan. And she kind of calls him out on it. She's like, why are you talking to me, a man and a Jewish man, and I'm a Samaritan woman? But there's something really important that Jesus says. He says, if you only knew the gift of God, the gift of God. What is the gift of God? Or better yet, who is the gift of God? If you only knew the gift of God, and if you only knew who is asking you, give me something to drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water. You see, Jesus is the living water. He's the one who gives living water. And he calls that in John chapter 7. It says that Jesus stood up at the last day of the festival and he shouted, whoever is thirsty, may he come to me and I will give living water. And that living water is his presence. It's the Holy Spirit. And Jesus begins this conversation with this woman. She's still thinking about physical water. And she questions him, how can you give me water when you have nothing to draw from? Are you greater than our ancestors, Jacob and his sons, who actually draw water out of this well? And Jesus is trying to move her from physical conversation to a spiritual one. You see, Jesus being God, he knew exactly who this woman was. And we're not going to go into the story today, but I encourage you to read the rest of chapter 4. You see, this woman had five husbands, and the man she was living with now when she meets Jesus was not her husband. We have no idea why she had five husbands. Did they all die? Was she just a wild, crazy, loose woman who went after one man, after another man, after another man? Or was she so unlovable that man after man rejected her? We don't know. We really do not know all the ins and outs of this woman. But can you imagine the heartache she's experienced in life, the rejection and the pain where she's truly trying to find real love, intimate love. And she's gone after man, after man, after man, rejected time and time again. What was her heart like? Was it dry like a dry sponge that has not seen a bucket of water in months? And Jesus begins to address her heart issue. And as she begins to question what he's saying, Jesus makes this amazing promise that he gives water and it's living water. And the water he gives, we will never thirst again if we drink from the water that Jesus gives. And that water will convert into a fountain overflowing with eternal life in our souls, because the source of that water is Jesus himself. The Holy Spirit lives in us when we receive Jesus as Savior and as Lord. You know, there's so much I'd love to share with you today about this passage and about the other passage in John chapter 19 when Jesus said, I thirst. But I want to close with a handful of thoughts for you to think about, to ponder about, to talk about with your family right now when we're done. The first one is this, and it goes back to Jesus when he said, I'm thirsty. Jesus was a human just like you and me. And because he was tried and tempted in every way, he's able to help us when we go through trials and temptations. And he can be sympathetic and empathetic in our weaknesses. We'll find grace and we'll be given mercy. It's an incredible promise. The other one is this. Jesus offers living water, eternal life to you and to me. And my question for you is this. Are you drinking the water that Jesus offers? Or are you running to all sorts of other wells, drinking of other things? We've seen over the past couple of weeks with everything that's going on in our society, both here in the United States and the world. But think about here in Nashville, all that we've gone through as a city over the past 3-4 weeks, with tornadoes, COVID-19, all the insecurity, anxiety, things shutting down, the physical distance, the social distancing, millions of people losing their jobs all across the country. And in God's great sovereignty, he is actually taking down idol after idol after idol. On a very lighthearted topic, I love basketball. I wanted to be the next Michael Jordan. The problem was I'm too short, too slow, and can't jump. But I love March Madness. And they closed March Madness down. I think this weekend would have been the Final Four. Is that an idol in my life? It very well could be. It's been taken away. And it's made me think, what are the idols in our lives that God is taking away? And he's causing us to go through a type of fast right now during our society. The other question I have is this. Are you drinking the water that Jesus offers? Because he's inviting you and me to come to him daily and to drink from him. We talk a lot as believers about the importance of reading God's word. And we should read his written word every day so that we can encounter the living word who is Jesus Christ, our Lord. We're going to close with just a moment of silence. Oksana's going to play in the background. And I want you to ponder this. Are you drinking daily the waters that Jesus so freely gives? If not, come to him. Jesus would love to give you his water that he freely gives. And it will fill to overflowing to eternal life. Let's pray. Jesus, I want to thank you so much that you poured yourself out as a living sacrifice, as an atoning sacrifice for the world. And I praise you that you offer and give living water. And may every single one of us today drink the water, receive the water that you so freely give to us. And may we throw away and get rid of all the wells that offer poison and that cloud our ability to drink the clean, fresh, living water that you give. And we ask these things in your precious name, Jesus. Amen.